Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Bergquist, your host, and with me today, our leading lady is Claudia Johnson, president of, and I have to say this, you know, with much enthusiasm, exclamations, gifts and more. Claudia, are you there?
Yep. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Claudia. It's like you and I have known each other for a while, yes?
Yes.
Yes, I refer to you as my angel, which we'll tell that story later, but just am amazed at the kingdom you built. And, you know, for all of our listeners today, our topic and what we're going to talk about is, you know, how you built a quote-unquote basket empire. So, I mean, tell us what exclamations gifts is, because it's just an amazing business, and you started it, as I understand, with your $200 unemployment check. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. 20 years ago, it was a crazy...
20.
And I... would you like me to tell you about my company now or how I got started?
Either one. Why don't you tell us... First of all, what's exclamations gifts? I mean, I think we can guess, but it's like tell us about the and more.
Exclamations gifts and more is a full-service gifting company. We provide gifts, gift baskets, keepsake gifts, branded gifts, fresh fruit gifts, party favors, promotional products. So through the 20 years, I've had to be innovative, and that's part of my strategy. And we are now a full-service gifting company to those in San Diego, and we have clients throughout the United States.
Amazing. And I know you've built such a kingdom. I mean, just for total disclosure, you know, you and I were competitors when I ran a gift basket business, and I know we always had much respect for each other, but I never knew that you started your business with, you know, your unemployment check. I mean, please tell that, because I think for anybody listening, you know, or know somebody that's been laid off, and especially with the state of the economy, just, you know, in the early 90s, which was another different kind of recession, how you started. How did you take your unemployment check and say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go start a business?
Well, it was sort of ironic because the timing is of today is just like it was in the early 90s with the real estate recession and so forth. So I had been working for a home builder, and the company went from 160 employees to 12, and I was the 12th employee to be let go, to be surviving, and then, of course, let go. And I had worked since I was 16 years old, so I was 1 year married at the time, and I did not know what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and I thought, well, I'm going to collect unemployment and figure it out. And so I did, and this particular afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, I was shopping with my mom, and we went into a florist that was going out of business. And the florist had just everything on 50% off. I saw a wall of wicker baskets. They were burgundy with accents of gold, and I thought they were so beautiful. And I stood there. I will always remember this. I remember standing there looking at these baskets by myself, and my mom was somewhere else in the store. And I just got inspired instantly. I thought, I've got to start a business. I've got to do something. Now, mind you, I was never creative since I was always a corporate gal. So I never did anything creatively except for when I was in Campfire Girls. And so it was many years ago. So now, with my last check of $200, I bought baskets and some floral enhancements and just some little tchotchkes to go inside these gifts or these baskets. And I put them in my car and put all this in my car and drove home and told my husband of 1 year, Jeff. I said, I'm going to start a business. And, you know, he was just
saying, did he kind of
laugh?
And you're like, yeah, right.
And, you know, we were in a condo. We had a small guest room. And so my TV tray became my first desk. And I just used the guest room as an office and just was very, very resourceful. So I ended up using the bathtub for a storage center for like all the floral things and more product. So along the way.
I got to ask you, how did you learn? Because there's a process to making baskets since we both were in the biz, you know, quote unquote. How did you learn how to make them pretty? It's not about throwing items in a basket and there you go. I mean, there's some finesse to it.
Right. Well, and when we started our companies, Michelle, since it was in the early 90s, it was before the internet and before there were even computers so much. So, you know, it's such a different time now. So for me, it was looking at something and deciding what can I do with it. I mean, I had never made a basket or, you know, a bow or received one. So it was literally just looking at something and being inspired and saying, what can I do with it? And so that's really the essence of the kind of person I am. I always look at everything probably with a different twist and say, what can I do with that? What can I make out of that? And so I did. I didn't know how to buy anything wholesale. I went to Save-On and Thrifty and bought things. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. And the one good point was I started in the fourth quarter. So that would be for the holiday and Christmas gifts. And I would call people that I know and said I started a gift basket company. And they said, oh, great, we need to send things to our clients. So then I just pretended like I knew what I was doing. And that's really how it went. A kitchen
make
table.
Make it till you make it, right? Don't think
yeah.
Make it till you make it. Oh, my gosh.
That's exactly what I did.
I love it, though, but you just started calling people. And so, I mean, is that where, I mean, obviously it's like, you know, just knowing that business, it's like, how did you start to, you know, because you grew beyond yourself. I mean, I want to flip it forward and just, you know, no one can visualize this or see it, but you have an amazing facility. You own your own building. I mean, you took a $200 employment check, and now you're like 20 years later with one of the worst recessions we've ever had. You're doing well. And succeeding. And it's like, I think our listeners want to hear, how did you do that? I mean, how did you go from the TV tray? What was the process there? I mean, how did you get your first facility, or did it outgrow your house where baskets just became crazy? But how did you grow? Most people think of a basket business and go, oh, do you run that business out of your home? Which a lot of people do. But very few then will go into a commercial location and, you know, hit the, you know, over $100,000 mark, then $500,000, and, you know, over that. And I know you well exceeded that. So how did you do that? What do you think are some of the things that, you know, you got to that you allowed you to duplicate yourself and build, quote-unquote, your kingdom?
Well, thank you for calling it a kingdom. Nobody's ever done that, so I'm going to take that as a great comment. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, you can use it. You can use it. That's right.
Great. So I always saved whatever I could. So, you know, a piece of advice that I would share would be whatever you can do is save, save, save. So I would make $50 and I would save whatever I could from that. And then I'd buy more products. So along the way, I have never been in debt, and I didn't ever want to take out a business loan, and I didn't want to finance things. And so I always was just debt free. If I couldn't pay for it, I didn't buy it. So I was at home for 4 years, and then, honestly, the bathtub, my husband didn't know I was using the bathtub for storage, and then when he found out, he was just saying, okay, Claudia, this is ridiculous. Now, it was a guest bathroom, and nobody ever used it, so I just used that bathtub, and so I said, okay, I'll move out. I'm not myself personally, of course, but my business. So I got in my car, and I looked in the Yellow Pages, and I found a business park about 15 minutes away from my home, and they had a space available that was 500 square feet. And so I could afford that. So I signed a lease month to month, and that was safe. And, of course, the people in the leasing office thought I was a basket case, and no pun intended, and they thought, okay, well, she'll be here for Christmas, and then she'll be probably giving us notice in January. And I sort of thought I would, and then I would come back in next year and I'd do the same thing. But my business continued to grow, and so did my space. So I rented the 500 square feet for a couple years, and then another space opened in the business park for 1,200 square feet. So I moved into that space, and then the people next door to me moved out, and I added that space to my existing space, which made my new space 3,200 square feet.
Wow.
And
what a story. Go ahead.
That was in a few years. That was like maybe 5 years of growing. And then one day I saw a sign, a broker's sign in the grass, and it was for sale, you know, building for sale. And I thought, okay, well, how much is it to buy a building? And it was exactly the same square footage. It was 3,200 square feet. I thought, well, how am I paying rent? Why can't I buy a place? So I called the broker, and for the sake of time, I'll talk quickly here. What did I do? I told him what I wanted, and there wasn't anything on the market that was available. So he sent a scout out, and he found a couple that was wanted to retire. They were happy to sell their building to me. We met, mm-hmm. and we had a great energy, and just we really, really respected each other. So they were sort of marveling at my success and how young I was, yeah. and how I had saved up my money to buy a building. So I did. I saved up enough money for a 10% down, and then I had perfect credit, so I qualified for SBA loan, and I got that from my building. And now my building that I have is 5,000 square feet. It has shipping department, offices, production area, corporate storage area, research room. I mean, it's really, really beyond. I can't believe it's mine. And every day, you know, and it was 11 years ago. Building. I can't ever believe it. I pull up every day and think, this is my building, and I'm so grateful.
You're funny. And I've seen it just so, because everybody else can't see it, but it's a marvel. It's like it's got your touch, your personality, you know, just, I mean, it's got all your, you. You are, when you walk in, that whole lobby and your showroom and, you know, mm-hmm. how you treat people when they walk in, it's definitely your personality. But one thing that I would love to know is, when you first hired your first employee, I mean, at what point did you say, oh my God, I got to have somebody else helping out? And what were some of the steps you went through? Was it just by accident that you hired an employee? Because you've had a long-term staff person with you for quite a while, which is very unheard of, I think, for most micro small businesses. Mm-hmm. How did you bring on, you know, your cheek, you know, your lovely delight that's been there with you for so long?
Well, I had some employees before Amy, and the previous employees. First was my mother, and we're having more fun together. It was just great.
I didn't know that. Oh, very cute.
Yeah. So my mom would be at the kitchen table with me, and we'd be making our gift baskets together. My dad would help with deliveries, and it was just the three of us, and we really, really, really had a great time, and I'll always treasure those times. And then as my business grew, I took advantage of Point Loma Nazarene, and they had an internship. So I did meet a lady there, and she gave me an intern because I really couldn't afford to pay somebody. Mm-hmm. And so this gal worked for me for about 8 months, and then she went on with her education and left. And then I met somebody. I decided to grow my business by joining the Chamber of Commerce, by joining the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau, and so forth. So as I was networking, I met somebody that their sister had a gift basket company. And so I thought, okay, well, obviously it's in her blood, and she doesn't have her company anymore, so it's not a conflict. And so I had her for a few years, and then she didn't want to commute anymore. She lived pretty far from the shop, and she did not need to work, so she retired. And right the year before she retired, Amy was a referral from somebody else that I met at a party, and she was 18. And so Amy's been with me 16. This is her 16th year with me. And she is absolutely fabulous. I've been her mentor, and I've taught her, you know, the different systems and things like that. But she's the young one, so she's absolutely embraced technology and is just so fabulous. And we have always gotten along well, respected one another, and it's just been a great relationship. And it's more of a partnership than we don't really socialize, and we don't have drama. We don't have gossip. I think it's so important to keep your workplace free of all that. It's just so hazardous and toxic for a work environment. And I also have another gal who's been with me 12 years. She is in charge of my production. And then I have another assistant and does most of the day-to-day, like, office management.
I think keeping drama, especially for all the women that are in your business, how do you, you know, what do you consciously or actively do to keep the drama out? I mean, not being too, I guess, generic, but it's like, you know, women sometimes create drama. So how do you kibosh that? How do you keep it out of the business environment?
I just think it's setting examples and having your staff respect you and know what you stand for and know your values, it's really important for me to, for my staff to know that I don't, you know, I sort of, now if, you know, when I go to hire somebody new, I let them know there is no drama. We're not catty. This is not a competitive environment. We're a team. I want to run it sort of like a family business, but it can't be, sometimes that's toxic too, family businesses. So there's just a nice combination. And I like to motivate my staff by bringing them lunch or treats or surprises. They always go home with, I always tell them thank you, and they know how much I appreciate them each day. So I just think it's so key to show your people that you value them and that they're important to you. And I remember when I corporate America, almost every day, nobody ever said thank you to me. I mean, you know, almost never. And it was just like everybody did their job. They came in and left at on time. And, you know, it just wasn't a great environment. And I just decided way back then, I said, if I ever have my own company, I want to make it so different. And that's just, I want to make it special for my employees. And I don't want them to go elsewhere. So they're compensated and they're appreciated.
And a testament. I mean, just the small businesses don't have long-term employees like that, especially for production and, you know, with Amy for as long as she's been with you. So kudos to you, girl. It really is an empire. But I got to ask, I know this is where you and I had a little conversation on it. I, you know, for people that build beyond themselves in business, it's like, you know, duplicating yourself, finding a mini-me, you know, adding employees to the mix when you're building and starting a business from scratch is one of the biggest challenges, you know, small business owners have. And I'm, you know, when you think of the systems and the processes you've done, I mean, do you feel it's a reflection that Amy just jumped in and did stuff? Or do you feel, Claudia, because you have a vision, you've just shared that it's like you want people, no drama, you want people to like where they work, you want to respect them. And isn't that, I mean, to me, that's a lovely environment. But how did you build processes in so that when you, somebody orders a basket, the person that was supposed to get it gets it and it goes to the right place? Because to me, there's so many steps involved with that and so many areas fraught with errors that could happen. There's got to be a system. And I think it, people need to know that that's how you build a business. How did you do that? You know, not specifically, but, you know, did you consciously go out or did it just grow by accident that it's like you got good systems? Because I don't think that's the case.
Right. Well, it was, you know, grown by design. I always think that organization is key. And I think that you have to, even when I was working in my home office with my TV tray, you know what, the TV tray was always kept clean. It wasn't piled of papers and stuff all around. And my office, I sort of transformed the guest room into be more like an office and a workspace. And I just think that it starts with day one. And so you have a folder. Like even when I bought my building, I had a special folder and a clipboard because that was before all the iPads and everything. I would just keep everything all organized. And I think that especially in the gifting world, there's so many vendors now, and there's so many clients, and there's so many unique requests. So everything has to be organized because you can't say, where is that, where is that? Don't have time to wonder where anything went. And so I've always instilled that in my staff. And I have 3 full-time employees now, but in the fourth quarter, we have about 15 employees. And so those are all temporaries. And also when I get large orders, I bring in temps to help fulfill the orders. So I have a rotating door of people that we just call per job to. But they all know what we stand for, and they're organized. And we just sort of teach that. And then, you know, we have like a area for our office supplies. And I always think it's important that people don't go without. If they need something, a tool to make their job better, then let's order it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great philosophy. I think that's where more businesses need to know that it's like it's so difficult to duplicate. On the same token, you know, it's like it's those systems and those processes. That's what builds a kingdom. It really does. So I'm going to change gears a little bit, and I just would love, you know, because you're so humble, first of all, but it's like, you know, you really have built an amazing business. And when you look back and you think of the all these years you've been in business, what do you feel, let's just say the top 3 things that you feel have really been central to your success? You know, if you had to kind of bottle it and, you know, package it, what would be those 3 things that you would say, this has really been a testament to why I've been sustainable, why we've built, I own my own building, I, you know, what are those 3 things?
Hmm. First of all, I really believe in living by the golden rule. Do unto others as you wish them do unto you. I just can't stress that enough. I just think being ethical, and I've seen things in my business where companies have ordered from me. I mean, there was a home builder in Los Angeles years ago that ordered, 100 gifts for me. And I remember renting that bright yellow Penske truck, and my mom and I went trucking all the way up to Los Angeles, so excited and so naive.
Yeah.
And we unloaded all 100 gifts, and we never got paid, thousands of dollars. And the home builder went out of business, and, I didn't know. I was young. I trusted. It was a solid company, national advertising. Of course they're going to pay me, but they didn't. So it's just that golden rule again, do unto others as you wish them to unto you. I would never do that to anyone. So I just think that, secondly is being ethical, and having integrity, always being grateful. Goodness. Always trying to look, do your best and have a can-do attitude. Even though the times are tough, I always, I wake up and I say, okay, it's a new day, it's a new beginning, and what am I going to do? It's me. It's my company. Yes, I have employees. I have a team. But at the end of the day, everything falls on my shoulders. And so what is Claudia Johnson going to do today? How am I going to make it happen? What's a different twist? What can I introduce? What's new in the marketplace? What are people wanting? I will call my clients and ask them what they're looking for. I just think it's important to be different, but, a good different, not a rebellious.
No, it's interesting hearing you because, a lot of people, when they say what their keys to success are, and again, I do quite a few interviews and
mm-hmm.
I know a few business owners, and it's, I'm always intrigued with when somebody looks back and you ask them, it's like, what do you feel have been, the key things to how you've done so well? And what's funny in a, to me, in an interesting way with you is you don't equate it to the business things you've done. It's more of the philosophy
mm-hmm.
and the relationships and how you treat people, which I find fascinating because most people, when you ask them that question, if they've built a kingdom, including myself, I would say, oh, I've done these business things and, that's why we were successful. But you have more of the relationship, the mindset, the philosophy, and I think that's unique. That's very, I mean, it's different, which is, again, just looking at how you're doing what you're doing, because there's been a lot of businesses for the last 4 years that are in the same business as you, they haven't made it. I mean, why do you feel you've made it and others, kicked up and said bye-bye? You're still here.
Right. Well, I also think it's important to give back to the community and just give back to anyone. It doesn't have to always just be the community of San Diego, but, abroad. So it's something that I intentionally do every month is give back. And so I think that when people look at the whole, quote, package, like a gift package, they look at everything that we stand for. And then they respect it, and then they want to be part of it. And so it takes a lot of time, and there's different organizations I've been involved in, and so that's been great. But I'm just a grateful person. And I just...
Yeah, well, again, just, be humble, girl, but it's like you've done an amazing thing with what you've got, with exclamation. I'm going to ask you, because there's a saying, people will say that women don't think big enough. So I'm curious, it's like, what are you, what's your long-term BHAG? Have you heard BHAG before? What's your big, hairy, audacious goals for exclamation? I mean, where are you taking it, girl? Where are you going to take the business? I'm curious.
Well, right now, I'm celebrating 20, and I definitely, I'm close to paying off my building, which is a huge goal of mine. That would be a great slice of my retirement. So it's just great to know that I would be 100% debt-free. So I do have some financial markers that I want to exceed, and hopefully this year we'll do that. And to take my business, it is in a good place. I don't want to be – I've had Overstock.com approach me to do business with them. I've had Costco approach me to do gifts for them. And I don't want to be so big that I lose the sight of life, because mm-hmm. I like living and I like having a good time and going places and learning things. So I don't want to be a huge – I like my kingdom pretty much where it is, Michelle.
That's okay. That's all right. I mean, you – sure, because, you mentioned balance. It's like, how do you – keep to that. You know, I mean, I've learned a couple of things by just interacting with you on that one, because I find it very hard. People say, oh, you shouldn't live to work, but it's like when you love your business, it's hard not to. So how do you keep that balance?
Well, I do work a lot, but it's always, to me, it's always a pleasure because I'm doing something productive and I'm making a difference, whether it's making the shop better or doing something for a client. So it's always a good thing. But I balance with family and is so key. And my family is also very patient. They know what I do and they understand the time demands. But there's always different times of the year where it's a little bit slower. So I'm going to take advantage of that. And I like to travel and that kind of thing. So I just think that I don't want to be so big that it's like everybody's in a frenzy and there's stress. So.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just don't.
Do
I don't want it.
Too. Yeah.
I don't think that the mighty dollar is worth it. So I'd rather have a better life than just all a bunch of cash. So.
I love it. Well, and what would be, you know, this is a big word, but regrets? Any regrets in business?
Yeah, I do. I wish that I embraced the internet sooner. It's interesting how when I started my company with just, you know, a tablet, like just writing or piece, you know, little notes, papers, and, you know, it's just so different. So I regret that when I first heard about the internet, I just didn't jump on that then. I think now everybody has to be tech savvy and have to just always social media. We hear about that every day. We're bombarded by it. And it's, you know, I think it's annoying. And it is. And it's a lot of time. But I think to do it right, you have to invest your time and have people that know what they're doing. So I wish I did that. It's interesting. I've never had a brochure, and I don't even know if I regret having that, not having one. I think styles change so often, and I never wanted to put my money in printing. And now it's so much less expensive. But back in the day, Michelle, when you had all your printing done, it was expensive. And I just didn't want to invest my money in that, so I didn't. And, you know, for me, my business was built on referrals and relationships and a great product. So that's how I've built my kingdom. But I don't really regret. I think it's just really pretty much the internet, because everything else, and I always learn from everything I do. So there's little mistakes, and I wish I would have, but there's nothing, I'm trying to think. You know, follow-up is so important.
You exude your business, you know, ambiance. I mean, you give gifts. You enjoy that. You can tell you enjoy that. By the way, I have to share. It's like those little, like, wine chocolates. Those were so good. Gone now, but I just thought I'd share. They were really good.
Thank you.
I mean, they were delightful. And you know, and again, I mean, I'm not trying to put you in a corner. I just think, my gosh, so many of us can learn from other women in business. And what's cool is, as you're talking, I think everybody, that's what makes small business so fabulous, is that everybody has their own philosophy and there's no one right way. I mean, I look at you and I think, my God, how different our companies were, you know, even though we had a similar philosophy of relationships. But yeah, I chose a catalog. I saw it as a great marketing tool. We were big with email marketing. You know, the database was king to me and my company. And, you know, yet I see, you know, with you, you've got such loyal customers. It's like, you know, we chose alcohol. You let people bring, right? Booze is not the big thing for you in baskets, and it was huge for us.
Right.
So it's,
yeah, we have
a
business partnership that's set up so if somebody wants to have alcohol in their gifts, then they can either, like you said, bring it over and we'll wrap it for them, or we'll pick it up from a local supplier. But we don't have an alcohol license, so we don't buy it and resell it. But you know, I think it's interesting because for me, it's sort of like branding my business. So everything I do, it's when I go somewhere, I bring a hostess gift or host gift. I just feel like I live my life the way my business is, and it's 100% authentic. And it's sort of interesting because I've been told that I'm a walking presentation.
You're what? Say that again.
So interesting, a walking presentation. Because
yes, you are. I mean, you're a walking representation of your business. I mean, absolutely.
Know, the person that told me that, because when she told me that, I thought that was so interesting because nobody had ever said that to me before. And I said, yes, because, you know, I always want to dress with style because I like style and I like to have fun with dress. But she said, Claudia, wherever you go, people know. And I, in my industry, in the gift industry, I have been blessed by – you know, speaking at the National Gift Basket Convention and different things like that. So being recognized in my industry is what I'm trying to say here. And I do have a particular style. And I think for me that's part of my branding, so that when I go out networking and I go to any meetings whatsoever, I look like I'm a creative person, so that people know, oh, she's not the ho-hum business person. I don't want to be taken as so serious like that. I want people to be intrigued and go, oh, what does she do? Or why, you know, not likely why she's wearing, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. I mean, and we're wrapping up, but any final thoughts that, you know, I haven't asked you? I mean, what would you want to share with people as kind of a takeaway as we wrap up? Give people two slices of advice that you've kind of learned maybe the hard way, or how you want to leave people with as we end the show.
My goodness, I can't believe the show's over. It's the fastest half hour of my life. Thank you, Michelle. Oh, my goodness, how can it be over? Okay, two pieces of advice. Absolutely, if you're going to have your own business, you absolutely need to be passionate about it. I think passion is key to success and to happiness. And my goodness, the second piece of advice, I gave that earlier, is that having that can-do attitude and, you know, believe in yourself. You need to be passionate, but you have to really, really, really believe in yourself. And if you start doubting yourself, then I think it sort of expresses that and manifests that to your staff. And you don't want to come off as, well, I don't know. You know, you really want to be, I always think, like a mentor to people. You want to be authentic. You want to be real. You want to be approachable. You know, we're all people. We're all living to have a good time. So I think that's really the best thing to be, is just to be authentic and be real. But if you don't know something, like if I don't know something about technology, I'll go to my staff and I'll let them know, this is something that I've heard about, or, you know, please learn about that. But it's a team. So it's teamwork. Because I don't know everything. I'm not going to act like I know everything. I'm the first to say I don't know everything. But I want to learn, or I want to delegate. I think also it's really key, going back to some of the questions you asked me, is to delegate. You can't do everything. You can't be everywhere. So you really have to sort of select what's important to you and what you think is going to be the most ROI. So I think always keeping that in the forefront of your mind is key.
Those are great. And it's like, seriously, you have little tips through the whole thing. I just laugh because, you know, we could go down the delegation path. We could go down, you know, the philosophy path. That's like the lessons learned. So I want to say thank you. Gracias, gracias
you.
For being on the show with us. You were awesome, as we expected.
So,
to our listeners, I just want to say thank you for listening. It's like we're starting to get some buzz on Women Leading the Way Radio, and I get excited because if we can share the experiences of other businesswomen and women owners, it's like, you know, we're just doing some amazing things, and that's what we look for on Women Leading the Way Radio. So our next guest and leading lady is going to be Michelle Feinstein with Fitzy Foods. She's built a little kingdom as well, but we'll, you know, totally different, Claudia, than you. So I hope all of you will listen in on Thursday morning, 9 a.m. And with that, I hope you guys have a great couple of days. Claudia, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks so much. Here we go. See you guys on Thursday.
The Women Leading the Way.
Woo! Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.